So there's a person who had a story. It was made up of his past and his imagination of his future. It was not a once upon a time story or a story that sat in a book on a shelf, because it was not a story that was shared. So this person, they held on to that story so tightly, never telling it to others. As I said, never sharing it, never opening it up to see its message for anyone else, never revealing it at all. As much as they could, it was kept nice and protected. So it was, in fact, a beautiful story, but it was ever so fragile. And so the person, recognizing that fragility, guarded it all the more, afraid of what might happen to it. Now, I'm going to guess that you all know, yes, what happens? The story breaks. He has been being too careful. We don't know for sure whether it was something that he did or whether it just happened in that inevitable kind of way, but the story shattered one day in the forest. And there it lay. And he cried. His beautiful story in little shattered pieces. While he was crying, another person arrived, and she said, "What's happened?" And she looked around and she saw the shattered pieces, and she asked, "What is this? Can I help you?" And our person, he is crying, and he barely chokes out that it was his story, and there's nothing to do. And so she says, "It's okay. It's okay." And slowly, she begins to pull the shards together. And interestingly, as she does so, our keeper of the story, our man who had been holding it so carefully, begins to share a little bit of what those shards meant. So eventually, it looks like maybe at least there's something that could be salvaged. And so he begins to put the pieces together alongside our stranger asking questions, some not. Interestingly, after a pretty good amount of it had kind of been gathered back, some of those questions with some of those shattered pieces, the pieces disintegrated like magic, but other pieces came forward and were renewed and added back. And they seemed just a tiny bit more resilient. So soon our person had not a complete story, as it happens, but a pretty good foundation. And having had that experience in the woods, he's now carrying that story a little bit more openly and accepting those questions, because that stranger who asked those questions helped him feel that shift. And soon, that story that was carried became stronger and more developed. It shifted in its shape, but it became ever more resilient and beautiful. It was, in fact, a revelation, much like Epiphany is. The story's power, of course, grew as it was shared. And more importantly, our man, who had been carrying it for so long, found more comfort and more ease by sharing that story with others. And even when he found the uncomfortable parts, neither the story nor he ever shattered again, because the community who he shared it with strengthened his resilience.
Our opening music this morning is a song from a medieval chant, and it tells a metaphorical story about the birth of Jesus, a time that celebrates the Epiphany, when the divine, the power of love, was incarnate and took form of a human flesh. Our musicians will be singing it in Middle English, And they've asked me to provide a translation for us modern English speakers today. Here are the words. There is no rose of such virtue as is the rose that bare Jesus. For in this rose contained was heaven and earth in little space. For by that rose we may well see that he is in God in persons three. The angel's son, the shepherd's two, glory, glory to God in the highest. Leave all of this worldly mirth and follow we this joyful birth. May these psalms bring you into the spirit of Epiphany.
Thank you.
When I was a toddler, the way that I would joyfully proclaim Happy New Year came out sounding like Happy New You. And what started as a playful mispronunciation has since become part of a new family tradition, one in which we send each other messages of Happy New You at midnight across the four different time zones my family now finds itself in. Over time, this tradition has taken on a deeper meaning for me. This year, when I got those messages of Happy New You, I had a mini moment of epiphany. It was this. The truth of who we are, the story of who we are, who we've been, and who we will become, is always unfolding. And sometimes, to understand what's unfolding, we need to revisit some of the truths we've told ourselves about our past. Unitarian Universalism is a faith grounded in bold questioning, challenging not only what to believe, but also what is possible. It is a religious tradition that invites us to constantly reassess, reconsider, and reimagine what might be. Truth in our tradition is not static. It is part of a living story, constantly revealed through the bold questions we ask, the discomfort we embrace, and the many epiphanies that can emerge along the way. But so many of these truths are also very hard won. More often than not, the truths that we have don't actually come from easy answers, but instead from hardship, from challenging accepted norms, and resisting the status quo. This is true for our religious heritage as well. Our faith was born out of two bold heresies that questioned authority and truth. The heresy of universalism dared to declare that no one, yes, no one, is condemned to eternal punishment in hell. And the heresy of Unitarianism rejected the doctrine of the Trinity, proclaiming that God is not three persons but one, a unity that is present in all things. In our larger UU story, we inherit not just the freedom to choose our beliefs, but also a history of epiphanies, moments of spiritual revolution that challenge oppressive systems and spark new ways of living. This is a legacy I like to call a spirit of revolt, because it empowers us to not only reject the old, but also create something new, a new you, and a new us. The power of Unitarian Universalism lies not just in our choosing what to believe, but also in our commitment to seeking liberation through the questions we dare to ask. It is through these questions that we challenge oppressive authority, discover what is possible, and transform ourselves and the world. A powerful example of this spirit of revolt can be found in Michael Servetus, a 16th century physician and theologian who defied both the Catholic and Protestant doctrines. While Servetus is often remembered as one of the early founders of Unitarianism, and he is also known as a martyr for religious freedom, his story beckons us to look beyond such a simplified narrative. Born in 1509 or 1511, during the Renaissance and Protestant Reformation in Europe, Servetus grew up troubled by the doctrine of the Trinity. This was the sacred Christian doctrine that the divine nature is one God who exists as three distinct persons, the Creator, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This idea of one God existing as three persons didn't make sense to Michael Servetus, and he couldn't find any support for these ideas in any sacred text in the Bible. So in 1531, he published his views, challenging openly both the Roman Catholics and the Protestant churches, which he also called out for being very corrupt. From these writings, he was immediately denounced, both by the Catholics and the Protestants, and his book was immediately banned. But Servetus' spirit of revolt couldn't be banned. He went into hiding, changed his name, and continued to write, even while studying medicine in Paris, where he was credited with the European discovery of pulmonary circulation. Even as a physician, Servetus never stopped challenging the status quo. He wrote a radical book under a new pseudonym, proposing this new vision for Christianity. In it, he argued that God's presence wasn't just found in Scripture, it could also be found in the hearts of all beings through some transcendent divine spirit or force of love, a spirit that refused to ignore the corruption and deception in the world, a spirit that called one to imagine a more free and just world, to not just accept the world as it was, but instead create and be a part of the world we long to see. Under this alternative name, Servetus started writing to this French theologian and Protestant reformer named John Calvin. And after receiving a copy of Servetus' latest book, Calvin discovered that this other writer he has been corresponding with must have been the wanted heretic, Michael Servetus. So quickly, Calvin gave the Roman Catholic Inquisition all the necessary documents to put Servetus on trial for heresy again. And he was arrested, but he escaped from prison. And then he was later spotted and arrested in Geneva, where he was found guilty of spreading heresy and condemned to be burned at the stake. They took his banned books, tied them to his thighs, and burned him alive. And in his death was given new life of a moment and a movement for religious tolerance. After his execution, Calvin wrote a book defending his actions against what he called the Servetian Plague. And in response, many rebuttal books were published, demanding greater religious tolerance from the church. It's here where we can find a spirit of revolt that lies in the center of our faith, the loving, radical act of asking transformative questions. You see, beloveds, epiphanies often don't come from easy answers. They come from grappling with some very difficult questions and enduring the discomfort some questions can bring. The questions we need to find ourselves into new ways of living that are more expansive, more liberating, and free. Just like in Servetus' time, we face deadly debates about truth, about authority and justice and power. Be it religious, political, or social movements, there are so many questions many of us have. And the questions that lie before us in the new year invite us to confront things that might be uncomfortable or sometimes even dangerous. But honoring Servetus' story and that spirit of revolt, we can open ourselves to the power of epiphany, the power of a new story where liberating truths can emerge. This is our call to action, to embrace the heretical history of our faith, which is also one of epiphany, to be like Servetus and challenge the world as it is, not only by critiquing the status quo, but also offering and building and embodying the bold vision of what we know could be. So, as we look to this new year, what truths are you wrestling with? What questions will you ask? And what new epiphanies might just be waiting to embrace the new you and the new us we need for this time?